This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I am so glad to be with all of you in the house of God to worship on this beautiful Sunday morning. Especially glad to welcome you if you're visiting with us for the first time. We hope that you feel the Spirit of Christ moving in this place and that you have a chance to meet some new people this morning. One of our practices together is to sign on the registration pads that we were here. Those pads are at the end of each row closest to the aisle and hopefully are already making their way down. And if you are visiting and would be willing to share an email address or a mailing address, that will give us a chance to reach out to you and let you know some of the ways we're trying to live out God's love in our community. I want to make a special introduction this morning of someone who's new to our family at West End. Jeff Cody is making his way forward, and Jeff is our new property operations manager. He came on board this past week and already just feels like we've known each other a long time. He's excited to be here, and he and his wife Rochelle are living here in Nashville, and he'll be working Sunday through Thursday and will be available to all of us with any questions or anything we have about our property. We want to make sure, by the way, and give Melanie Paulson a big thank you if you see her. She has covered a lot of these responsibilities through the summer. So she is also very happy to welcome you, Jeff. And let's take a moment to welcome Jeff as part of our family. Two other things I want to highlight as we head into this week. We are beginning to gear up some of our fall programming. This Wednesday in the evening, we have an open house downstairs in Porter Hall from 5:30 to 7:30. We'd love for you to stop by on your way home from work or if you're in the area. The food will be provided by Barley to Rise, which is our new food provider for Wednesday night. It's a great chance to taste their food. And also, it's an opportunity for Brandon and me and our families to continue getting to know you. So we'd love for you to come by on Wednesday night. Then next Sunday, I want all the children and students to know that it's blessing of the backpacks in worship. So remember to bring your backpacks as we will be praying for you as you head into a new school year. We'll do that at both services. And then in between services during the Sunday school hour, we have a big mission celebration for all our youth and adults who participated in mission trips this past year. That will be our time to hear some of their stories and learn the ways that God has worked through them in the work that they've done. But now it is the hour of worship. We have gathered in this place to hear the story of Jacob wrestling with God, to meet God who meets us just as we are, right where we are, to give us what we need for this day. So let us worship together.
Thank you. all who are hungry and thirsty.
The Lord will provide for our needs.
Come this day to the table of the Lord.
Here you will find welcome and sustenance.
Come to this time of gathering and praise.
Lord, we come with open hearts and spirits to receive your gracious gift of love.
Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God,
we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us from joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen.
As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Let us join together in the prayer for illumination. Lord, Open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the
Scriptures are read and the Word proclaimed, we may hear your joy, which will stay with us today.
A reading from the Old Testament. The same night he got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And then and there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, in this day, the Israelites do not eat the thigh muscle that is on the hip socket, because he struck Jacob on the hip socket at the thigh muscle. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Back when I was in college and used to come home for Christmas or summer holidays, one of the things I loved to do was to sit down at the piano and try to remember the pieces I used to play when I was taking lessons. Usually I didn't get very far with that, so I would just pick up the hymnal and start playing hymns. I remember one afternoon my father came into the living room and sat down on the piano bench next to me, and he said, "Do you want to play my favorite hymn?" And I said, "Sure." And I thought he would turn to "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," or "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing," or maybe even "His Eye Is on the Sparrow." But he turned instead to page 386 and opened it up to a hymn I had never seen before in my life. The title is "Come, O Thou Traveler Unknown." It was a Charles Wesley hymn, and there are four verses in the hymn printed with the music, but if you turn to page 387, there are 14 verses that go with this hymn. I don't think Dad and I sang through all of them. Maybe we did, I don't know. But there's a story behind this hymn. Apparently, Isaac Watts declared it the greatest poetry ever written. At Charles Wesley's funeral, his brother John stood up to give the eulogy, and he began reading the words of this hymn, and he couldn't make it through the first verse because of his weeping. It's a beautiful hymn. It's set to a sort of Celtic Scottish tune, but it's not a hymn that we sing very often in church. You'll actually get to hear it as we begin communion. There's a soloist who's going to sing it for us. And I hope you'll open up your hymnals and pay attention to the words as they sing. But I think the reason we don't sing it very often in church is because it's connected so specifically to this story in Genesis of Jacob wrestling with God. The hymn is born out of this strange little story that we don't hear very often in church. Now, I've typically been a preacher who preaches from the lectionary, and I know that you as a congregation typically follow the schedule of the lectionary readings, and because of that, this story of Jacob wrestling with God comes up only once every 3 years. And there are also other texts to choose from, and we've been spending our time in Matthew's Gospel this summer, and I was going to stick with Matthew's Gospel, but when I saw Genesis 32 as one of the lectionary readings, I had to jump up and grab it. And I told Matt, "Somebody's got to sing this hymn because I want everybody to hear it. It may turn into your favorite too." But what is this odd story about Jacob wrestling with a man, with an angel, with God? What's going on in this story? Well, before we look at this specific episode, I think maybe we need to zoom out just a little bit and remember the larger story of Jacob, especially if you're not as familiar with the Jacob saga. Who was he and what was his story? Well, you may know that in the 12th chapter of Genesis, God chooses Abraham and Sarah to be the ancestors of a great nation. They will be the ancestors of the Israelites, the Hebrew people. And the two of them have one son, Isaac. Isaac marries Rebekah. And just like Isaac's parents, it's a long time before Isaac and Rebekah are able to have children. But one day, Rebekah conceives, and not only one child, but two. There are twin boys in Rebekah's womb. And the scriptures tell us that even then, they were wrestling with each other. They were wrestlers, especially the younger one. Now, Rebekah is told by God that the older one will one day serve the younger one. And she interprets that to mean that the younger one has been the one chosen by God to carry on the covenant with the Israelite people, to give birth to the chosen people. So she goes into raising them knowing that. When it comes time to give birth to the twins, the first one to be born is Esau, red-faced, muscly, strong. And right behind him, grabbing onto his heel, is Jacob, whose very name means grabber, wrestler. From the very beginning, Jacob is grabbing to be the first. He wants the birthright. He wants to inherit the promise and the covenant of God, and he's fighting for it. As they get older, you may remember the story, Jacob uses his wits to get that birthright from Esau. The first episode is when Esau comes in from hunting, and he's starving, and Jacob is stirring a delicious smelling stew. And Esau wants some of it. And Jacob says, I'll give you some of this stew if you give me your birthright, the rights you have as the firstborn son. And like that, Esau agrees. That's how much he values his birthright? Is that what he thinks of the covenant of God? He gives it away for a bowl of soup. In the next episode, with Rebekah's help, Jacob deceives his own father, dresses up like his brother Esau, and sits next to his blind father to receive the blessing that was supposed to be Esau's, but now it is Jacob's. So Jacob, the grabber, Jacob, the wrestler, now has the birthright and the promise of God's covenant. And Esau is furious, and he wants to kill Jacob. And so Jacob runs away. And for the next 20 years, he lives with his uncle Laban. And he marries and he has children. And these become the 12 tribes of Israel eventually. But after 20 years, God speaks to Jacob and says, it's time for you to go home. It's time for you to face your brother. It's time for you to face yourself and go home. And so that's where we meet Jacob. At the beginning of this scripture text, he has come to the river Jabbok. He has sent his wives and his children on ahead of him. I'm not sure what that's about, but we're not going to deal with that today. He stays back and spends the night by himself. And the scripture says, a man came and wrestled with him until daybreak. What is that about? What man? Why were they wrestling? Who? But as the story goes on, by the end of the wrestling match, we learn that Jacob has been wrestling all night with God. His opponent announces, you have striven with God and with human beings. And Jacob is able to say, I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved. So what is it about this wrestling match? What do we need to learn and see in this interaction between Jacob the grabber and his God? Well, as we looked at this in Bible studies this week, there are all sorts of truths that come to us in this story. But at the most basic and simple level, I think this story teaches us that God welcomes a good wrestling match with you and me. It is okay to wrestle with God. God takes the form of a human being and meets Jacob right where he is. He meets this grabber, this wrestler, in a wrestling match. He holds on to Jacob all night long, and they wrestle back and forth. It is okay to bring to God our questions, our doubts, our struggles, our anger, our frustrations. And God is ready to meet us where we are and engage with us in that relationship and that conversation. But so often, we're either not willing or too afraid to engage God like that. Maybe we're like Esau, and we're sort of indifferent to God. Esau, who was more interested in filling his belly and living his life and having his things. I think sometimes we can be so interested in our day-to-day life that we don't really care much about having a relationship with God. That was Esau's problem. Never engaged with God, gave it up like that. And even though in the story Esau is a lot more likable than Jacob, at least Jacob wants that relationship with God and wants that covenant with God and will not let God go. And God can work with that. Or maybe you're like me and you have this idea somewhere that your relationship with God is supposed to be polite and nice. When I go back and I read my old journals from high school and early adulthood, I'm trying so hard to be nice and not to admit my doubts or my anger or my confusion. I know what was underneath those things I wrote in my journal, but I couldn't admit them to God because I thought God would be ashamed of me. I didn't know that God would welcome that. And yet here we have a God willing to wrestle with Jacob. Here we have a book full of psalms where the psalmist is angry at God and shaking a fist at God saying, "Where are you? Why did this happen?" This is the kind of God revealed to us in Scripture who is willing to engage us where we are and is big enough to receive and absorb all of our doubts and questions and fears. Now, we may not get the answers that we're looking for. You know, Jacob wrestled with God and said, "Tell me your name. I want to know your name." And he got no answer to that question. What he did get, however, was a face-to-face relationship with the God of the covenant, a God who never left Jacob's side, a God who blessed him at the end of the wrestling. So the invitation is for us as well to be willing to enter into whatever wrestling match we need at this point in our lives, to bring to God all that we are, all of our questions and doubts, and to trust that though we may not get the answers, we will be blessed and given everything we need for the next stage of our journey. Let us trust in God to meet us right where we are. Amen.
We welcome all who gather to worship with us today. If you're a guest among us, we are especially glad that you're here, and we welcome you. We hope that you'll join us for coffee and fellowship in Reed Hall through the doors to your right following our worship service. Our Andrew ministers will be there to greet you and answer any questions that you might have. They will also be in the narthex at the rear of the sanctuary. You can look for their blue name tags. In the pew racks in front of you, you'll find a gray card. We invite you to record your prayer requests there and indicate if they are to be shared or are confidential. You can place them in the offering plates as they're passed down the pew in a few moments. Please take a moment to record your attendance with us by passing the attendance pad that you find near the center aisle down the pew if you haven't already done so. As the pad is passed back down the pew toward the center aisle, we invite you to take note of those who are worshiping with you and greet anyone that you may not know following the service. This morning, we extend our sympathy to the friends and family of Rod Bragg, who passed away on Sunday, July 30th. A service will be held on Thursday, August the 10th at 2 p.m. at Trevecca Community Church. And now I'd like to invite Bill Ferris to come forward to give our mission moment.
Our church will again help build a Habitat House next month for Daniel Beach and her two children. Please see the insert in today's bulletin and see what a wonderful, deserving family they are. Our church has pledged to Habitat that we will fill 75 volunteer slots over 6 days, 4 weekends, starting September 30th. In your bulletin are the dates of our build. Please mark these build dates on your calendar and be ready to help someone build a dream home. There is a day available for you. The Habitat table in Reed Hall for signups will start September 3rd. If you want to commit early, please contact Lisa Guak by email or by the phone here at church. Both men and women are needed, young and old. Carpenter, home skills are not required. And you can volunteer multiple times. As in the past, we have committed $30,000, half of the cost to build this home. To date, we have collected $16,300. We still need $13,700. Please consider making a gift today or this week. Simply mark Habitat on your check and place it in the offering plate. Or give online at westendumc.org/habitat-to-build. I'm proud to say, as in the previous 14 years of this church building Habitat houses, we have always met or exceeded our commitment. Early on the morning of September 30th, if you're there, you'll see a stack of lumber. And on the evening of September 22nd, we will see a home. We thank each of you that have already pledged your money. And your time for Daniel's home. Now, with that said, God's generosity knows no bounds. With this assurance, let us praise God with our tithes and offerings.
Thank you.
give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets, who looked for that day when justice shall roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream, when nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. At his ascension, you exalted him to sit and reign with you at your right hand. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, and gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as together we proclaim the mystery of faith. Gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine, make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Children, let us pray together the prayer Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the body of Christ, broken and given to you and to all the world. The blood of Christ poured out for all for forgiveness and grace, inviting us into a loving and even perhaps a wrestling relationship with our God. As we prepare to come to the table, if this is your first time worshiping in this congregation, I want to share a few instructions with you. We will be guided by our ushers, and our choir will be served first, followed by the folks in the balcony and the transept, and then those in the nave will be led by the ushers to come forward. This is the table of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is a table that is open to all who are here. So we hope you know that there is a place for you at this table. We have an opportunity to give to the missions of this congregation as we come forward. And as we learned from Bill Ferris this morning, our mission of this month is our habitat build. So if you feel led to bring your gift this morning, the plates are available just next to the altar as you come. There is always a station close to the lectern that has gluten-free bread so that all will be able to receive this morning. We invite you to open yourself to God's invitation. Receive the feast that is yours this day.
Thank you.
Let us together give thanks for what we have received. You have given yourself to us, Lord. Your love has made us a new people.
As a people of love, we will serve you with joy.
Your glory has filled our hearts.
Help us to glorify you.
Spirit be with you all. Amen.